The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. This week, I got a question for you.
All right.
How do you get a guy who has been a huge DC Comics fan to really appreciate and love what Marvel Comics is doing?
To get to the other side.
I tell you, you tell really good stories. And you get good writers and you get good artists and you just tell some really fantastic stories, such as the case with Nick Spencer's Ant-Man number one from Marvel Comics out this week. Wow. That's all I can say.
Ant-Man.
I like
this
a lot.
He's at home washing his tights. I did too, actually.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I mean, I know. So here's everything I know about Ant-Man.
Okay.
He's a man. Right. That can turn into an ant. And depending on which Ant-Man we're talking about, he can turn into a giant man. And if he's got a mental problem, he turns into Yellow Jacket Man.
Well, basically sort of true. He shrinks to the size of a smaller thing, but clearly not an ant, because he rides on the back of an ant, so he's bigger than an ant. But yes, Ant-Man can shrink and control ants.
Yeah, that's the extent of my knowledge. So
that's pretty much the extent of his powers.
And I know nothing. I mean, I know Hank Pym. That's the one that I know, right? That's the one everybody. Well, I shouldn't say everybody. Most people who know Ant-Man think of Hank Pym first. He's the guy that did the Pym particles. He's the guy that does the stretchy suit. Isn't that the thing that makes Mr. Fantastic suit stretches the Pym particles?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's unstable molecules.
Oh, okay. And then, of course, Hank Pym is the guy that created Ultron.
Right.
Now, Scott Lang, I know nothing about, except what you've told me before, and that he was a criminal in the past. Well, that's all well and good, because this issue goes really kind of tells you everything you need to know about Scott Lang and his crazy, messed up life.
And the really fascinating part is, at this point, Scott Lang has been Ant-Man longer than Henry Pym by a factor of decades. Yeah, Henry Pym stopped being Ant-Man sometime in 1964 regularly. When they kicked off the Avengers, he was Ant-Man. By issue 3 of the Avengers, he was Giant-Man. Scott Lang became Ant-Man in, I want to say, like 1977 or 1978.
And then didn't he die or something?
He died for a while, but it was...
he's back.
It was a point in time where a lot of people died. You remember Avengers Disassembled, the story that killed Ant-Man, Jack of Hearts, The Vision, and Hawkeye.
Yes.
Maybe, at this point in time, only Jack of Hearts is still dead, I believe.
Maybe you didn't pay attention to that whole part at the beginning where I said a guy who never really read any Marvel comics except for DC stuff. And now over the last 5 years, he's been getting into Marvel stuff. So, yes, I remember that story exactly as you described it.
Yes, that's exactly how it went. And at the end of Avengers Disassembled, a whole bunch of Avengers were dead, and now they're not anymore.
Including Scott Lang, who needs a job.
Right, because he just quit the Future Foundation.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. The Future Foundation sounds like a pretty good gig.
Except it's got that kid that can, like, screw up all of reality in it.
Which kid is that?
Oh, the Franklin Richards kid.
screw up reality. Franklin Richards controls reality.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he could, like, you don't want to piss him off if you're working at the Future Foundation, because next thing you know, you wake up and you're in the cornfield.
That may be what happened to Scott.
Maybe.
He's no longer with the Future Foundation. He's somewhere else. And now he's got to go and do the thing.
Well, he's got to get a job. And so he tries to get a job with Tony Stark. And in the process of applying for the job, we find out his life story and his backstory and the fact that he goes to his interview in his Ant-Man costume.
Because he doesn't have a suit.
It's great.
It makes perfect sense. And what's really interesting is all of the people that he's competing with for this job are also unemployed superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. That, one of them is a villain, right? Also, sorry, reformed villain.
Well, the Beetle was in Thunderbolts. And the thing about being a Thunderbolt is you're totally a tweener and you can go either way.
It wasn't the Thunderbolts. Wasn't that what's his name's crazy organization when he was president or whatever?
Yes.
OK.
But it existed before and after that.
Ah, OK.
And this is from a point before that. Then there's a guy who used to be an X-Man and a guy who used to be a runaway, I think.
Prodigy was an X-Man.
Prodigy was one of the new X-Men.
Ah, okay. Not one of those X-Factors.
New X-Men, no. That's why he always wears an X-Men uniform. But he doesn't have powers anymore, sort of.
Well, kind of. I mean, he still has kind of powers, right? He can remember everything.
Right. He can remember the knowledge of every person he's ever met, but he can no longer imprint new knowledge.
Ah, okay. So he can't remember anything about Hank Pym or anything like that by shaking his
hand. I don't know. Let's find out. Well, I don't know. He didn't shake Hank Pym's hand. He shook Scott
Lang's Scott Lang's hand.
Uh-huh.
Well, that we know. He may have shook it up. Hank Pym's hand at one time.
Well, Hank Pym was probably dead at the time.
Tony devises some scheme to test these kids to figure out who's the best. And Scott goes about it and kind of cheats his way into hacking the system. Which is exactly what Tony was hoping someone would do.
Yeah, this is clearly post-Axis jerk-ass superior Iron Man.
Well, because, so that's what I'm saying. This is the all-new Iron Man with the silver suit and now he's a dick again, right?
Right. He's one of the characters who had their personality trends reversed in the Axis series. He did, and I want to say Sabretooth did, and somebody else did.
What do you
mean
had their personalities reversed?
Well, you remember how I talked about Axis? The Red Skull used his psychic brain thing to reverse the minds of characters and turn the heroes into jerks and the villains into good guys.
What was the point of that?
So that they could make Iron Man a jerk again.
But I mean, was it supposed to make like Iron Man a villain or something?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't read it that well.
Oh, okay.
But what it did was there are a few characters whose brains remained trans-reversed. Steve Dallas. Sabretooth.
Oh.
Iron Man and somebody else, their brain is still inverted. So Sabretooth right now is being a superhero.
Okay.
Trying to live up to
death of Wolverine.
Basically. Yeah.
Isn't that his brother? Aren't they brothers?
No, you're thinking of the movie version.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. As I'm reading this issue, I'm totally going, holy crap, this is how good the movie's going to be. From the trailer that we saw that we released yesterday and is up on the Major Spoilers website, I'm looking all the little bits and pieces and getting to know who this Scott Lang is through that trailer. And then I'm reading this and going, holy crap, I'm hoping the movie is as good as this comic book. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be this story. Obviously, right. It'd be dumb to be this story because I'd be like spoiling it months and months ahead of time. But right. If it is in this same vein, if what motivates Scott Lang is the desire to do right by his daughter, if this story is a heist story, which this comic is kind of a heist story, if it is those kinds of things, then that Ant-Man movie is going to be freaking good.
Yeah. Interestingly, Scott Lang's daughter, who was a superhero herself recently.
What was she?
She was Stature in the Young Avengers.
Oh, I thought she was going to be like Grasshopper Gal.
No. She was the one who grew big. She's apparently been de-aged a little bit in this issue. Now she's 14 again.
That's interesting because the ex-wife What's her name? Peggy or something?
Peggy Margaret.
She doesn't make any mention of that.
Nope.
So is that something that no longer exists? Is that something that's been written out, or
if it has, they haven't told us about it. It was her machinations in the pages of Avengers: The Children's Crusade that actually helped to bring her dad back from the dead.
Hmm, interesting.
She was one of the Mighty Avengers. Do you remember when the Mighty Avengers were like Hercules and Amadeus Cho? No? Nothing?
No. Sure, Matthew.
Don the Dragon
that.
Wilson.
Yeah,
Benny
yeah.
Benny the Jet, Arquitas, yeah. Some of the giants of the sport. I can see by your face, no, but I'll tell you that your daughter is safe with me for the next 12 hours. So, yes, essentially, his daughter used to be a superhero, and I think that we are either going to say that she was a superhero temporarily at the age of 14, or we're just going to sweep that under the rug, sweepy, sweepy, and when the Marvel Universe resets in 3 or 4 months, like everybody seems to think.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what this issue is doing, right? I mean, it kind of glossed over anything about that. I mean, the only mention of his daughter in the backstory is that she was really sick, and that he had to do whatever it took to get her well, and he ran into the big bad from the movie. What's his name? Deckard Cain.
Darren Cross.
Same initials.
Yeah.
And glossed over anything about his daughter saved his life, which I think if he had, I think if that were part of this story about, oh yeah, my daughter helped bring me back to life. You know, he just glosses over a lot in this story that, yeah, I was dead, now I'm back, something like that. I think
that
would really
kind of the way to do it, especially if they're taking him back to his roots 35 years ago.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. That's what makes the father-daughter relationship different, because now it truly is, if they've swept that away, it truly is a father who really wants to do right by his daughter, as opposed to, well, she did this for me and now I feel obligated to do this for her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Scott Lang is, I think, someone who would fit well at Major Spoilers. He's kind of a dork.
He is a little bit of a dork, yeah.
And I love at the end of his interview with Tony, where Tony's like, oh, this was basically a no-win situation. He's like, oh, you mean like a Kobayashi Maru? And Tony's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, Star Trek. And Tony looks at him and goes, oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
And then
that was nicely handled.
And then I guess the whole reason for this issue is, let's get Scott Lang down to Miami and have him set up base there.
Right. Which I'm good with.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I mean, I don't know. I guess I've always had a bit of a problem with every single hero in the Marvel Universe living in New York. I mean, I understand it because it's like, hey, look out your window. Stan Lee talking to his staff. Hey, staff writers, look out your window and tell me a story about what you see. Excelsior. I know, right?
You realize in the early days he was the staff.
I know.
Hey, self, try not to mix up the names of the heroes this month. Thor's the one with the hammer.
So it's nice to see that, like when... Hawk girl or Hawk guy, the girl.
Hawk guy girl.
Yes. Went to Los Angeles. That was really interesting. When we look at the Runaways, that's interesting because they're not in New York.
Yeah, there's a whole West Coast Avengers thing going on right now.
Yeah.
Hulk and Daredevil. And
yeah. And so that, you know, that seems very, very interesting. So to see Scott Lang in Miami, I think that opens up a lot different storytelling. That could happen, especially when you're dealing with fire ants and red ants and all those things that are down there.
Aunt ants and
uncle ants. But then again, when he's looking for a place to live, he goes into a toy store and buys a little replica of Tony Stark's apartment. And
yes, that's nice.
And he's buying it. And then the shopkeeper's like, oh, you're buying this for your kid. And he's like, well, actually, it's more for me. And then the shop owner
like,
looks
how old is your son?
No. And he's like, oh, you're one of those. Which, you know, it's nice. I mean, it's cute. It's a nice story overall. There's nothing in this story that made me fear for the character's life. Not that, I mean, there are times when I read comics, I'm like, oh no, Batman, what's going to happen? But then there are other times where it's just like, oh, this is a sweet little caper story that has some kind of happy ending in it. And sure enough, that's what this was. And Nick Spencer, who's been doing some great, awesome stories, all over the place. Just, I thought, knocked it out of the park with this one.
Well, and I mean, it's not necessarily a super happy ending because he does seem to give up his thing.
Oh, yeah, he gives up
Iron
his job. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
But he's happy because he at least gets to see his daughter and be with her. And that's the whole point of the story is I want this job because I want to do right by my daughter.
I want to say she was dead. Maybe that's why she's younger.
I don't know. To me, as a new reader, right? As a new reader to Ant-Man, I don't care. I don't care
that
what her back. I don't care if she was a grasshopper girl. I don't care if she was dead. I am just interested in this character right now and then moving forward. And I think that's what Marvel. I think Marvel did a really smart thing by doing this right now. Because when does the Ant-Man movie come out?
I don't know. 2015.
Yeah. Hey. This year.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Ant-Man comes out in July.
Oh, I thought it was next year.
So Ant-Man comes out in July. So we get
6 issues under our belt. We'll have a trade paperback ready when the movie comes out.
Exactly.
Holy carp, man. It's like they thought this through.
And not only that, again, if this really is what they're doing, and it could all be happy coincidence.
It could.
But probably if they're really this smart and saying, hey, let's premiere this Ant-Man trailer on Peggy Carter, a show that a lot of people are excited about watching, and at the same time, the new Ant-Man comic comes out the next day, which they didn't mention at least I didn't see it. I didn't watch the broadcast of on ABC where they could have said, hey, Ant-Man comic in stores tomorrow.
Right.
But trailer comes out the next day. The first issue of Ant-Man comes out featuring Scott Lang in it. And it's somewhat light and happy and sappy. And then in 6 months, we'd have a trade coming out about the same time a movie hits theaters. That's smart thinking right there.
Yeah, that's definitely good planning on the part of somebody. Or it could just be a massive coinkydink. It's hard to say.
I'm going to go with planned.
Well, you have faith in corporate America.
Well, sometimes I do. Sometimes, most of the time, I think corporate America is just full of crazy beans.
Yes, but you also think that they have the ability to control our minds and that they're conspiring to destroy us all.
Well, what did I say at the beginning of the show? That
I don't remember.
How do you get me to read Marvel comics? You tell good stories with good creative teams, and Marvel is now controlling my mind because I want to read more Ant-Man.
I do too. Now, I went into this expecting something different, and I will say this. If you're one of those people who doesn't like it when a character seems to regress in their time frame.
You're one of those.
I am one of those. And I had this problem, and notably I had this problem recently with Hawkeye. But I love Hawkeye.
Yeah, but you love Hawkeye, though.
But those first couple of issues, I was just like, well, we've kind of regressed him. We've taken him back a step to where he's no longer this cool, super cool, suave guy. But all of that is still in there, and I hope that's what they're doing here because Scott is taking a step back. A lot of the Marvel heroes are kind of screw-ups, but they're screw-ups who are heroic in spite of themselves. But you get your Star-Lord, you get your Iron Man, you get these guys who are like, I'm kind of a schmuck, but hey, I'm an okay schmuck.
But
I think that works for them.
But isn't that the point of what Marvel's been doing again and again and again the last couple of years where they're constantly giving us new number ones? They're giving us a new take on Tony Stark, a new take on the Spider-Mans. It's Doc Ock as Spider-Man.
And Leopardon.
Oh, man, that was awesome. I don't want to spoil that issue because apparently Dan Slott was pissed off at the internet people's websites that were revealing the big reveal in Amazing Spider-Man number 12. And it's like, well, I think he was really just pointing at Bleeding Cool because he's got a mad hate for Bleeding Cool. But at least
two-way beef there. I think that Bleeding Cool baits him intentionally.
But at least I said, hey, man, at least we put major spoiler warnings all over this review so people wouldn't read it if they hadn't read it. But Leopardon or whatever his name is. It was a nice appearance in that.
Ixnay on the Iron J Obot Ray.
Well, I think that people realize that Spider-Verse is giving us every single Spider-Man that ever was, including Spider-Man of Earth 1978.
Yeah.
Which you so
51778, thank you.
Yeah, I know. That was an interesting explanation that you had. I know we've deviated off the topic really quick, but that was an interesting explanation that you had about how Marvel names their Earths.
Yes. Well, and the thing of it is, the core Marvel Earth, Earth 616, was named as a throwaway in an Alan Moore story like 45 years ago. But the alternate Earths are mostly named by the guys at the Marvel Universe Appendix. They're at marvunapp.com. You might want to check it out. It's a great site. But you can go and look at it. And when they name an Earth, they generally name it in a manner that makes sense. So Earth 51778 is named for the first appearance of Spider-Man, Japanese Spider-Man, in March, month 5 of 1978.
Hmm.
So a lot of these alternate Earths, you'll find some of them, you'll get six or seven digits. Like around 1993 and 94, there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of different worlds that end with Earth 94. But for instance, if you were going looking for, I don't know, say Earth 2099.
Yeah.
2099 started in 1993. So if you're looking for the 2099 imprint, that's, or actually I guess it's 92. But it's like Earth 928 for October of 1992.
Interesting. So that was going to be my question, is how did they get 616? Because Marvel didn't start in 1916.
Right. A lot of people say it's because Fantastic Four came out in June of 1961. Those people would be wrong.
But that's what I was thinking, if they just had flipped things around.
Alan Moore named it in an old Captain Britain story.
But did he do that intentionally to say, hey, this was because of the Fantastic Four?
In fact, he's come out and said that is absolutely not what he did. He literally threw out the name.
Yeah. Well,
but yeah, it was an issue of Captain Britain, and they asked him, where did it come from? He's like, I don't know. It's just a number that I made up. There's Earth 2 and there's Earth 4 and Earth 6. He wanted to have an Earth that makes sense because, you know, Captain Britain is part of an interdimensional Captain Britain.
Yeah,
form.
Yeah.
And of course, knowing Alan Moore, it probably has something to do with Satan.
Well, for me, I just, you know, going back to the de-aging or sweeping back and taking a few steps back in the character, I'm fine with that because I think with superheroes, you have to do that, right? I mean, the Shadow can run around and continue doing Shadow things and fighting crime that bears bitter fruit and all that stuff.
Right.
And he can just be doing those exact same stories again and again and again because the Shadow never has to grow. Superheroes, I think, have to grow and they have to learn from past experiences. And if you're going to make the story interesting, you can't have Iron Man doing the same exact shtick time and time and time and time again, because then it gets boring and the reader is like, well, I read this 6 months ago in, you know, this and this and this. So the superhero, I think, has to die so that you can have that big moment where everyone's like, oh, but remember all the good things that happened when Tony Stark was drunk and all these other things. And they stole his Iron Man costumes. And then you can bring the character back and say, well, we're bringing him back to a time where he didn't know everything and he has to relearn those things again. And I know this is the touchy subject for a lot of listeners, the Peter Parker marriage, where you have to undo that Peter Parker marriage.
Rage!
I know you don't have, I mean, you don't have to. I mean, there's a lot of stories that can be told about the married couple of Peter Parker. And it depends on how good the writer is. But I think at some point you have to undo a bunch of stuff so that you can make it feel fresh again. And in this case, for a new reader, for Ant-Man, this is very fresh and this is very cool and this is very, wow, I didn't know this. Now, for someone like you, you can be like, well, we've seen him do this before and he's been undone and all this stuff. And I don't
Well, they've taken him back to kind of where he was in his origins in Marvel Premiere back in 1978 or 79. But I'm kind of okay with that. Because a lot of times what we've seen with these Marvel movies and with the books that come with them is we've removed some of the unnecessary barnacles. We've taken some of the crap away from, you know, Iron Man being the jerk behind the Civil War. They don't say it didn't happen, but they scrape it away and they give us a plausible reason to care about him again.
Yes.
And, you know, Captain America, 65 years as a hero and you know, he was only frozen for 10 minutes now, whatever. They keep sliding his timeline and making these changes and giving us meaningful changes and meaningful stuff that is still mostly respectful of what came before. I mean, I'm pretty happy with what Marvel has been doing, especially the last couple of years, even though I'm not necessarily a fan of repeatedly issue wanting something.
Yeah.
I am a fan of doing essentially long form limited series.
That's what I mean. I've really gotten into this point, too, where I think that's, I mean, without Marvel saying that that's what they're doing, that's what they're doing. And I think that that's the smart thing. And as I've said time and time again, the next logical jump is going to be kind of what DC is doing now with their Earth. Earth One series, where every year you're getting, or once a year or whatever it is, you're getting that hardback story of Batman of Earth One, Superman of Earth One, Wonder Woman. And they're self-contained stories. They're much larger than an 80-page giant, but you're only getting them once a year. And I think we're going to see the comic book industry go that way.
We already have in a lot of ways. You're right on that.
Yeah, but I think we're going to see more of that. I think we're going to see America finally understand what Japan's been doing all these years with comic books and really embrace that. Because, quite honestly, I want to read another 100 pages of Scott Lang Ant-Man right now.
Well, you can't unless you go back and look up your Marvel premiere. He did like two episodes there.
No, I'm saying I want to see Nick Spencer's five issues. You know, this is the one we'll see them eventually. Yes. But that, going back to what I was saying about releasing them as a single volume, that's what I want to see right now.
Right. And that makes sense.
Rosanas. I think it's how you pronounce his name. Man, really good art here.
Yeah, very good stuff.
Good framing, good composition, good good use of proportion. Obviously, if you're showing somebody who's really tiny and somebody who's really good, big. I love the flashback panels compared to modern panels.
That was nice, yeah. Especially when you look at the flashbacks and he renders the costume the way it used to look.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's there, and it's truly what the costume used to look like, and it somehow looks kind of lame.
Well, because he spent all his money redesigning his costume.
Right. But I do like that, you know, we're not saying that none of these stories happened.
Right.
So if you want to worry about what happened when he was with the Fantastic Four in the 90s, it's in there. He's like, yeah, I did a couple of runs with the Fantastic Four. It didn't take.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
If you take this character's 35 years of history, and in the Marvel canon, he's been around for like 4 or 5 years, you have to gloss some of that stuff. And I think it really does work in this case.
Yeah, it does. I love the way the pages are laid out. There's this spread. I think you're probably looking at the Comixology pages like I am on page 15 and 16. The page there where it's just, especially on page 16, where it's like three really thin horizontal panels followed by like five really tight vertical panels. And yet you're able to compose everything in the panel and not crowd it with word balloons and still make it really powerful in what's being said and what's being seen. This is a really good book as far as the art goes.
And I do like the fact that when we see Scott's apartment, it's covered with ants.
Yes.
It is literally covered with ants.
And he's okay with that.
Well, he's Ant-Man.
Well, that doesn't mean he has to, you know, let him crawl over everywhere.
But there are trails of ants all over the place. It's creepy and strange, but it makes perfect sense because he's Ant-Man.
And he names each and every one of them.
Yes. Because, you know, you have to name your people.
Yeah, that's how you let them know that you like them.
That's right.
All right. I'm saying Ant-Man number one, wow. Ant-Man number one, go buy it. Ant-Man, I want more.
I agree. This is really well done. This is a great kickoff. And, you know, when Hawkeye finally does, and it's been trying to end for like a year now, when Hawkeye finally does end, I think that this book is going to be able to take its place as kind of that street level cool guy who's also kind of a Schmendrick
in Miami, which
really works for me. Yeah.
Yep.
Ant-Man's in Miami.
Miami. So coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got Abe Sapien number 19, Aliens versus Predator, Fire and Stone number 4, Dragon Age Inquisition playing cards. Those are $6.99 there. The most expensive book next week from Dark Horse Comics is Eric So, Sin City Harv vinyl figure. $150. Eric So, Sin City Marv vinyl figure.
I don't even know what that means.
So apparently it's a vinyl figure based on Marv from Sin City, sculpted by Eric So.
Got it. Okay, now I'm with
you. Got it. There's also Resurrectionist number 3 and X number 21, Marked for Death, part 1. That's a mature reader book. DC Comics has American Vampire hardcover volume 7, Arrow season 2.5, Batgirl number 38, Batman Black and White trade paperback volume 4, Fables The Wolf Among Us number 1, which could be really, really good. A lot of people, I hear some things rumbling about that.
Really?
Who did I see? Look up and see who's doing that one really quick. For some reason, I want to say Matt Sturgis is working on that and not Bill William. Yeah, Matt Sturgis and Dave Justice are working on that. He was tweeting out the other day. Apparently, they just finished with issue 5, and he's like, this is where it really kicks into crazy town.
Nice. Justice sounds like a superhero.
Justice. Injustice Gods Among Us, year 3, number 7. Justice League United, number 8. Clarion, number 4. That's a 6-issue miniseries, so it's coming to an end pretty soon. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, number 53. And Superman, Wonder Woman, number 15.
Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, I would pay for that.
That would be interesting. Kind of like Spider-Man, Red Sonja. IDW Publishing, oddly, and this is what we've got right now over at Diamond. Only 2 books next week, Star Trek Ongoing, number 40. And then TMNT Adventures Trade Paperback Volume 9. This is an early, this is not finalized until next week. So that could expand in the next couple of days. But it's odd to just see those 2 listings. Right. Image Comics has A Voice in the Dark, Get Your Gun number 2, Copperhead number 3, Fuse number 9, Jupiter's Legacy number 5, Manifest Destiny Trade Paperback Volume 2. The most expensive book out of Image Comics next week looks like $14.99. Manifest Destiny Volume 2 is the most expensive thing coming out next week. Marvel Comics has all new Captain America number 3, all new Ghost Rider number 10, Amazing X-Men number 15, and then Ant-Man number 1. Let me double check something here. Yeah, this is that's odd. All new Ant-Man number 1 when we've got a brand new. Oh, that's a poster coming out next week. Cyclops number 9, Daredevil number 12, Guardians 3000 number 4.
3000.
Shield number 2, Spider-Verse number 2.
2.
And then the book that may sell a million copies next week, Star Wars number 1, $4.99.
Star Wars
number 1, back at Marvel Comics, and word on the street is that it's already pre-ordered a million copies.
I wonder how many they're going to sell.
Do you think they'll sell a million copies?
Well, they'll sell it to retailers for sure.
No, but do you actually think that enough people are excited about the new trailer that they'll want to go and see what's going on with Star Wars and Marvel?
It's definitely going to sell to non-comics fans, so I'd say it's plausible.
What about old comics fans?
Star Wars fans.
Oh, you're one of those.
Could be coming in. Old comics fans, maybe. The thing about old comics fans is that old comics fans have a tendency to be really, really kind of snarky about things that are new and different.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a chance that we may see those fans come back just to hate on it.
Chris Wilson's already written a review of it that'll appear next week. Well, I think he saw us doing all these new advanced review stuff and he wanted to get in on it. And I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. Did you get permission from Marvel to do this? Did you get an advanced review copy? Or is this one that came into the shop early? And he's like, no, it's just one that came into the shop. And I was like, oh no, then you have to hold off. You got to hold off on that. And I'm glad I caught that before he posted it. He's not too hot on the book, it looks like, but you can find out more about that next week when it comes out. I don't know why. You have to read his review when it comes out next week.
It's probably because it's 32 pages of Jackson with a lightsaber.
Oh man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Oh, speaking of, the most expensive book coming out from Marvel next week is Star Wars Marvel Years Omnibus Hardcover Volume 1 with a Chaikin wraparound cover, $125 bucks. Collects the first 1 through 44 plus annual number 1. So you get New Hope all the way to Empire Strikes Back.
Wow.
So you do get
Jackson.
You do get the introduction of Jackson in Eight Against a World or whatever that story is. Yeah.
the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, that's basically
get,
what it is.
Let's see, you get that cool Dave Cockrum issue.
Mm-hmm. Some of those we've reviewed already on the Major Spoilers podcast.
Have we?
I think so. I know we were reviewing one of the Dark Horse Omnibus editions that included the Marvel stuff.
Cool. Yeah, I like the Marvel stuff, but it came out at a point when I was getting into comics, too.
So. Yeah.
It may be me going, oh, this is the furthest my comics used to be like, and I was like buying comics.
In And the Rest category, we've got Adventure Time, Marceline Gone Adrift, number one. I'm sure a lot of people will be rushing to pick that up. That's from Believe Boom Studios. Alice Cooper, number five. Amazing World of Gumball, number one. That's the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive cover. That's $9.99. Boombox 2014 mixtape, number one. That's from Boom. That's their imprint, Boombox. Crossed. Hey, Cross Badlands, number 50. It's got the princess cover.
I don't want to know what that means.
I don't know either.
I don't.
Deep State, number three. Doodle Jump, number five.
Doodle Jump?
Or Evil Ernie, number three. Fraggle Rock, Journey, Everspring, number four. And now I come to you.
From Fraggle Rock.
Gold Digger, number 217.
My hand up my bum.
Jughead and Archie Comic Digest, number nine.
And fell for Mercy. My face.
Fraggle Rock. Mercy Thompson, number four. Parallel Man, number four.
Take that, Avenue Q.
There you go. Seven Deadly Sins, graphic novel, number six. Shaft, number two, with the rare Coen Virgin Art Edition. That's $50.
Ooh,
Shaft,
those
number two
Coens
is actually
aren't generally virgins.
Actually, Shaft, number two, comes out this week. And then
keep
the book,
away from the virgin.
And then the book we're going to review.
Yes.
Vampirella, number 100.
Vampirella, number 100.
Yep.
I do love the Vampirella.
Yep, and I figure that's a big issue number, so I figured we'd take a look at that. Twilight
that
Zone
may be the highest number ever.
Twilight Zone, number 11, also comes out next week, and WWE Superstars Ongoing, number 11, comes out.
Yeah, I reviewed Twilight Zone, number 11, on the Major Spoilers podcast
yep.
this week.
WWE Superstars Ongoing, number 11, does not feature Roddy Piper for some reason. In
I wonder
a giant
if it still
wraparound
features
kilt
CM
cover.
Punk.
I don't know.
It was
know.
Weird because CM Punk was a central figure in the first six, and then, of course, he quit the WWE.
Yeah, he quote-unquote quit the WWE.
Well, he walked, and
I thought
they
fired
went into
him.
They went into some sort of litigation for like 8 months. And he was still on their roster page for like 8 months. He actually walked last year before WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I thought they fired him. I thought that was the whole
thing.
They
fired him this fall. They fired him by fax on his wedding day.
On his wedding day, yeah.
But that was 8 months after he disappeared off programming and took what Vince was calling a sabbatical. And I don't know. I haven't paid attention, but I know his wife lost her title. His wife, AJ Lee, lost her title not so long ago. I'm not sure if she's still with the company either.
Oh, lost her title or had it
she
taken
lost
away.
Her title. Well, and that's the thing. You can never tell because a title is not a way to, you know, punish or you know, reward people. And yet it totally seems to be.
So, yeah.
Hard
yeah.
to say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That, I think, is the show this week.
Kayfabe.
Next week, Vampirella number 100. Looking forward to it. Head over to Major Spoilers because we've got a bunch of reviews, a bunch of advanced reviews, too. If you're looking at some books coming out in the future, check out the most recent Major Spoilers podcast for that review of Twilight Zone number 11. Thank you to everybody who's using that Amazon.com link over at Majorspoilers.com. And if you are one of our Major Spoilers VIPs, thank you because you made this show possible. And if you're someone who's sitting there thinking, man, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed hearing Matthew and Steven talk. And you thought that this book, podcast was worth your time. Consider becoming a Major Spoilers VIP for as little as $2 a month. You can find out more at members.majorspoilers.com. And until next time, keep reading comics, everybody, because comics are fun. And we need a lot more fun in our lives. Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.